What the fuck are you quaffing? What is that?
Nice bottle of Malbec.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is,
yeah. Oh, mate. There's many things that I wish you weren't, but a red wine drinker is up there with...
That's foul. How dare Honestly. You speak to me in such a way, you pauper.
Lovely.
What do you have against red wine?
I mean, just what's the point?
The most fucking used, and so is ale.
No.
What do you mean, no? Have you ever had a Guinness?
Yeah, but it's not bitter, is it?
Well, it's not sweet.
Irony. No, but it's not like, I think the issue is because it's red wine is so full bodied that it tastes like vinegar.
You've been drinking cheap wine.
Well,
that's what cheap.
Yeah,
that's what cheap wine tastes like. The difference between a £5 bottle of wine and a £12 bottle of wine is quite huge.
Yeah, it's about £6.
Seven, actually. So seven. Well done. You've done really well there. That's massive. Well, you never made it above floor manager, you oik.
Dear me, that's why I never made it past level three, mate. Fucking hell! I don't even count to 12. Fuck's sake.
About six. I mean, you're not wrong there. I mean, it's not six, but it is about, six.
About six, isn't it?
Just instead of saying seven, just say, imagine that. We're going to get the, you know, we're going to travel about 270 miles, actually means 271 and could just say 271. Well, same principle.
Yeah.
But, mate, you get drink, it's like anything. If you drink cheap whiskey, people always say, I hate whiskey, and the only whiskey they've tried is like JD. And that's not even whiskey. It's a mash liqueur. Like, it's not whiskey. I don't like JD, really, but I do like, there are certain whiskeys that I do enjoy. The same thing with wine. I can't stand the cheap stuff because it tastes like vinegar. But if you get, I mean, I don't drink that much, but if I get a nice £15 bottle of wine every now and then and enjoy that over the course of a week.
Blimey.
Oh, it's a good thing to drink, a bit of red wine. It's good for you, no matter what the so-called health experts will tell you, that red wine, red meat, milk, dairy, bread, eggs are all bad for you. I mean, it just so happens that is everything.
In vast quantities, I imagine. But
just in general, they say, don't drink this stuff. No. Of course it's good for you. It's what people have been eating for centuries. It's literally the Mediterranean diet, and they're some of the healthiest people in the world.
No. I mean, arguable, they are all dead.
What do you mean they're all dead? I mean, talking about the Mediterranean is still a thing. How's your geography? And what did you get in geography? Yeah,
I didn't take geography, but my geography is actually all right.
Is it?
I'm pretty switched on when it comes to that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's because you've been to prison in most of them.
I'm banned from most of them.
Yeah, you're wanted in most of the Mediterranean countries, so you've got to know exactly where you're going. Yeah. You accidentally slip into Albania and get caught up in it.
Oh, mate, I met an Albanian on a train once. He was the sketchiest bloke I've ever met, honestly.
Mate, do you want to know, this is actually true. I learnt this the other week. But you know what the first actual reference to an Albanian is? And people can look this up if they want. In 1273, there was a court case in, I think, Germany, right? No, not Germany. Italy. And the first recorded instance of someone, writing down the word Albanian, you know, and, referencing an Albanian, because the country, you know, kind of came into being around about then, or a little before then. The first recorded instance is someone talking about a crime being committed by an Albanian.
Right, isn't it?
So,
yes, right.
Anyone out there who's Albanian, this is not a generalisation, but you are all thieves, and that is quite funny.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't want to be rude, but the Albanians I have met have been fucking scary, sketchy dudes, so wouldn't be mucking with them too much, do you know what I mean?
Just look at that flag.
Do you know, I mean, yeah, that's enough, isn't it? It's like a swastika with a red background.
It's fucking crazy, the Prussian flag.
So I actually genuinely thought that Albania was sort of came about after World War One, when they split up all of, you know, all the bits. But Austro-Hungarian, and it's the Austro-Hungarian Empire and things. But it's actually 13th and 14th century, or between them, that it came about. How about that?
It is an old country, but like most of the places in Europe that were lower down on the importance scale during things like the 30 Years' War and the Crusades, it wasn't so much a country as like a place on a map where, you know, there were tribal leaders and warlords, and they were like passed around basically by, I mean, the Hungarians or the Ottomans, you know, people, different people had a, that's why Albania is such a, like a, it's a place, not really a country. And I don't mean that as an insult. It's like, if you go to different parts of Albania, you'll get a different, very different experience depending on the predominant group that's powerful there.
Well, yeah, it's all, it's another one of those things, like, they've been owned by so many different countries. You've got so many different influences as well, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit like Italy, although Italy hasn't been owned, so to speak, or like ruled, because it's geographically it's pretty sorted. It's just that, like, if you go to Napoli, or you go to Milan, or you go to Venice or Florence, because obviously it grew out of city-states and doesn't really have a very long hegemonous, like, history, then you get a very different experience. Like, I've been to Florence. That's fantastic. I know if I went to, like, Milan, I'm going to have a different experience. And I'd like that. Like, they speak different languages, for a start. If I go to the north of Italy, sometimes I can have, like, a vague conversation with someone because they speak German, like a dialect of German.
Sure.
So I can understand at least some of what they're saying, and they understand what I'm saying. Whereas I mean I don't speak Italian, so when I went to Florence I couldn't really commune. I mean I speak Latin, so I could read things and I could understand things, but I couldn't speak.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting.
Still quite impressive, isn't it?
Well, I mean, thank you. Italian, I would love to learn. And probably wouldn't be that hard because it's so similar to Latin in a lot of ways. It's just all the different connectives. I'd have to learn the dative, different clauses and tenses. But I'll give it a go someday. I really enjoy languages. I'm learning Spanish at the minute.
Yeah, right, I mean, I tried really hard to learn Spanish. Can you fuck off?
Sorry.
Yeah, I tried really hard to learn Spanish at school. I know as much as tu madre es en fuego, your mother is on fire. and the other delightful, tu perro es en fuego, which
what
is
perro?
The same but with dog.
Oh, is it dog?
Yeah. So I can a crematorium I'd be pretty smashing at.
But... Yeah, you'd be, mate, you'd be fine. What, who's burnt, fucking who's cremating their dog, lad?
People do.
There was a woman recently in America, that's foul, but there's a woman in America who got done recently for her boyfriend cheated on her, so she roasted and ate his dog and sent him a video of it.
Fucking hell.
No joke, bro. This African-American lady, I forget where, I'll see if I can find it for you. He cheated on her. He said he didn't, actually. That was the funnier thing, is like, she thought he cheated on her. So it's pretty funny. She just killed, roasted, and ate his dog.
Fuck, man. Bitches be crazy. Imagine.
Mate, it's wild, isn't it? That's so foul.
Yeah, there's got to have been some flags, like some issues.
To think
this bitch, like, I better not cheat on her because she will literally fuck my world up. Like, and probably record it and send it to me as well. Like, surely she's done some mad shit before that, and you questionable fucking.
I know,
life
for sure. There's always been you only hear about these situations once it's like gotten out of hand. But there's definitely got to be things leading up to it. Like, you know, when she sent, maybe lad, you should have noticed he was a bit, you know, gone when she sent you a picture of her shitting into her hand and slapping your mother with it because she thought you cheated on her last time,
literally.
Or something like that. You know, like,
you know,
reusing her tampons wasn't a red flag. Sorry.
Oof.
You know what I mean? It's not good. There's always things at red flags.
There's got to be something in there, yeah, man.
It's like when, I mean, I've watched so many Netflix murder mysteries, like documentaries, where they've interviewed people who like live near, like next to neighbors, and the neighbors saying something like, you know, he was always a bit strange, but you know, and there was that one time that he, you know, shot and ate a raw horse, but I, you know, we never had any idea. Yeah. We never had any idea that he would actually hurt someone. Like, man, who knew that?
There was that one time he invited us round, and there was a German naked on his table, and he said, "Digging." Didn't think anything of it.
And then it pans to like a picture of the guy, and he looks like a fucking troglodyte from the Neolithic period. Like,
literally got his eyes crossed, his hair's been cut by a fucking blind
pair of shears. Yeah.
Just a weird looking scarecrow on legs, just fucked.
Drooling.
If I saw him in the street, mate, I would genuinely cross the road. Like, I wouldn't go anywhere near the car.
Yeah.
Just his vibe fucking upsets me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just looking at him.
Honestly, I haven't got to go round to the bloke's house to know that he's a fucking wrong one. I could tell you that from one look.
You can smell him. If you can smell him from here, that's it. Game's over. I'm going home.
Yeah.
No, thank you. That's what I mean. To like to shit like that always cracks me up when you say, you know, like when I hear people say it, like, I never knew anything. And I'm like, I can hear that he's killed people in the tapes from the 80s. Yeah. This is shit quality, and I can still see a psychopath sat across from me. I can fucking feel it. Maybe it's because like now we're so aware of psychopathic and murderous behavior that we are so like ready to see it, whereas people in the 80s or 70s, when this kind of psychoanalysis was fairly recent, maybe they weren't as aware, like they just didn't, they just thought it was a bit funny or something. But like a bit funny to someone from the Holler in Oklahoma in like the 70s is he used to peel cats alive. Like what someone's doing as a kid. His
mittens.
Yeah, like that, someone will be doing that shit and then they'll be saying, well, he was a mad strange, but, you know, we never really thought anything would come of it. And he's got, like, fucking, you know, he's made a wallet out of a squirrel's skin and, like, given it as a fucking Christmas gift. Yeah,
Why is my wallet in my teeth?
Fuck me, bro. You didn't even know. Like, if you're what, yeah.
You didn't even think it's a bit suspect. Like, I went round one day and he was just wearing a child's uniform. Didn't even think anything of it. He used to call him schoolgirl Pete. Didn't know anything.
Yeah, it was just that's it. They always had names for them, didn't they? Weren't even names. They were just identification of the fact that this is a future murderer, but they wouldn't accept it.
He's a wrong one that I'm just going to label as a funny bloke for now.
Yeah, who knew that dual wielding axe laying was going to kill someone?
Dual wielder. No, he's armless, mate. Nah. He just walks around with twin pistols. Not a problem.
He killed people with two pistols. I'd never have guessed that. You know, I thought they were decoration, mate. Part of the outfit.
Yeah, I thought he just really liked being a cowboy. Odd.
Yeah.
Odd.
Yeah, mate. Stuff like that always makes me laugh. So like, with this woman eating this bloke's dog, I'm like, you know for sure something else happened. It's bad, isn't it? You can watch the video of her eating the dog as well.
I will not.
It's quite bad. I mean, it's burnt to it. Like, she really cooked that thing. Like, she barbecued that bitch. Like, there's no doubt about it. She put fucking seasoning on it. Like, it looked like a tasty meal if you didn't know it was a dog. It's clearly some kind of, like, you know, terrier or something. She's not fucking roasting a Bernard, you know.
Not anymore, it ain't terrible.
Oh, terrific with a glass of red.
Yeah, I bet that washed it down quite nicely.
Yeah. It's always the grainy footage as well. Like, these people, you know, it's recorded in 2023, but they're reusing cameras from, like, 2010. Like, the back of a BlackBerry.
Like, a second-hand. Yeah, literally that, like a BlackBerry. Yeah. Like, a fucking 6-pixel camera.
Yeah, 6 megapixel. Like, back in the day, you take pictures with it, and you think you were, the bee's knees, and now you look back and you realise that there's about 4 pixels on the screen. You can't even make out what your mum looks like.
You're basically just eyes and a fucking nose, mate, and nothing.
Yeah, that shit. That's so funny.
Like a Lego man.
I was just going to say, I really love looking at old Facebook photos from the 2000s, where people had clearly just gotten used to having cameras on their phones and were just taking pictures of anything, just of them doing anything. Anything they could, like, they'd be cleaning the kitchen and they'd just post on Facebook, like, here's a picture of me mopping the floor or something. Like, I had a cousin who was quite a lot older than me, and going through their old Facebook is genius, seeing all the pictures of shit food that they used to post. Yeah.
Oh dear.
There's some classics on there. It's like the first YouTube videos. Some of them are brilliant. Did you ever watch Magical Bike Ride?
No, I've never heard of it.
You got to watch that. Anyone who's not watched that, go and watch that. So that's from that's one of the first videos on YouTube from 2008 maybe, 2007 when it was first going. And it's some Geordie tripping balls on mushrooms that, you know, he's on it, literally riding a bicycle around some estate, and he's just off his tits, you know. If you haven't watched it, it's so funny. Going on a fucking magical bike ride. He's just wide-eyed staring into the camera off his tits. But he's clearly recording it on the back-facing camera of a Samsung flip. Yeah. You know, holding it at this angle so you see his teeth, angled downwards. Like a 3-megapixel. And the picture is so blurry and shit, but you can still make out how cracked out this guy is. So good. But it's proper 2007, you know. He looks like Devo. It's amazing. Go watch that. Brilliant. Anyone who hasn't seen that one.
Fucking yes, mate.
Fucking Devo, you fucking bastard.
Devo, yeah,
fucking
mate.
Dead pigeon, aye.
Didn't fucking know how old she was,
Yeah. the dead pigeon one is the best with Devo, again, if no one's seen that. But, I mean, that's the early days of satire on YouTube. He really pioneered making a character on YouTube. Just genius.
That was definitely good.
He must have been one of the first guys to do that shit. To really use YouTube for what it could be. The other one was, did you ever watch Salad Fingers?
Salad Fingers? Yeah, of course.
Did you watch that?
Caressing my rusty spoon.
Yeah, it's
I like rusty spoons.
it's so fucking weird, man.
The fact the first episode is literally him talking, gaining access to a child's house. And he's like, hello, little boy. Do you have any rusty spoons? And then it's him just having an orgasm massaging this spoon in front of this child. And when you think about, mate, there was some wild shit on YouTube back in the before YouTube got censored and monetized and that, you could get away with putting any shit on YouTube.
Trust me.
And the best videos are all now hosted on other, you know, websites from the old YouTube stuff that's been taken down. But there's one video, I don't know if you remember this, of a teacher in Hartlepool getting given a female teacher is recorded on someone's phone in the back of a class. It's 2008, and they'd given their teacher a hamster as a gift at the end of year 11, and they didn't realize that she hated rodents or something, because she opens the box, sees that it's a hamster, drops it, and stamps the thing to death.
Shit.
No joke. Just straight. She literally is like, "Oh, what's this?" Opens the box. Screams, drops it on the floor, and stamps the shit out of it for a good 10 seconds. And just the whole class. What the hell?
Roller coaster. They're so gassed. They're going, this is going to be the sickest. Oh, God. I've witnessed a murder.
She's just, the guy holding the camera is just in shock. That's a great video. It's horrible, but it's hilarious.
That's mad.
Yeah. So it's just, it makes it so much funnier, the old quality. I don't know why. Because it feels like more of a sketch or something, because anyone who's used to watching comedy is used to watching it on the sketch shows with a slightly grainier quality. I have a film camera because I like taking pictures that look like they're from the past, because it's so easy to take a still in a really powerful quality of what's going on, and that's great to treasure the memories. But being able to view things nostalgically in the past, I also enjoy. So, going back and watching The Inbetweeners, I have the old version of The Inbetweeners on DVD, so it's not remastered, so it looks like it did.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's how the 2000s looked. They were quite grey. I remember it quite well.
Sadly, just, yes.
People wore a lot of dark colours, and unless they also wore like neon pink and green and shit, like the Y2K movement. So
it was literally one or the other, though, wasn't it? It was either dull or fucking like leery, far too bright.
Yeah, for sure. It wasn't
like Lululemon everything.
Yeah, and they had some. Mate, actually, to be fair, a lot of the things in the 2000s were clapped out. You know, like looking back, like haircuts, the women.
Oh, they were so dead. Everything was dead in the thousands. To be fair,
it was clapped. Like you look at old football like photos of footballers who were meant to be like the pinnacle of style in the 2000s. They're wearing some fucking like mega leather wristband. Like they've got like white. They're white with dreads. That's a red flag for a start. They've got, like, this weird brown like graphic tee with like fucking you know like sequins on it and shit that says something like you know je suis le parti or something.
Brilliant.
And then you know and like some jeans that are ripped out of the back, like the diesel jeans hanging around their ass, and like scuffed up Adidas Gazelles and shit. I bet you there's pictures of you wearing that exact outfit, man.
100% there is. You probably just looked at my Facebook now. There's 100% there's photos like that.
And like the skin is so so fucking greasy as well because no one understood. Like everyone was eating greasy food and no one knew how to wash their face.
That was the fast food generation, mate. We were there.
Yeah, it actually was. Late 90s, early 2000s, yeah.
Trust me.
Oh, mate. That's so funny, though. Looking back and seeing people dressed like... You know, here's a great... If anyone's bored... Anywhere where you are, go online and type in like the archives of your local newspaper, especially if you're in England or just Europe. Go back, find pictures in the local newspaper archives of nightclubs in like the late 90s, early 2000s. Oh. There's always some gold in that shit. Like you go back far enough, and it's like 70s or 80s. Then it's like far enough away where it just looks vintage. And actually, the 70s and the 80s, although they had like weird styles, they had like specific groups. Like you had the punks and you know preps.
Yeah, you
or
knew where you stood with them.
You knew what people were doing. Yeah. But in the late 90s, 2000s, people all dressed kind of varying degrees of shit. Like
they all looked the same, but they all looked fucking awful.
Yeah, and you know, there'd be like one guy with like a buzz cut, and like this was my eldest brother actually, like diesel jeans, a buzz cut, and like a really like crap shirt with the collar up and the sleeves like.
You know, the collar always had to be up, man.
Mate, the collar was
you
up.
And if you didn't have the collar up, you weren't anyone.
I know
you weren't even worth having a fucking look at. Come on.
I don't know what they thought they were Eric Cantona or something. I mean, that's a
probably that's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
that's exactly what happened. Everyone in the 90s saw Eric Cantona with his little collar up, mate, and we thought this is literally the sickest thing that we could do.
Yeah, who knew we could do this? Fuck.
Yeah,
and it's a but pictures of like nightclubs from that period, like where we grew up, you know, Tower Park.
Yeah.
You know the monkey jungle place.
Yeah,
that used to be a nightclub.
It used to be Gus Gorillas, did it?
Is that? Yeah, it used to be a nightclub in the when it opened. Wow. It was a nightclub above the cinema.
That's horrific. I mean, that's an awful place to have a nightclub.
Yeah, mate. But just go back
that's like the club in Wimborne. Do you remember that? The club.
Yeah. Oh,
that
mate,
was horrific, mate. Vibe.
It's heinous.
That's what they called it in the end.
Oh,
it's the worst.
That was a bad place, yeah. I went there when I was like 18. That's I mean, I've been to worse ones. I have to say, there is a club in Swanage.
I literally didn't know Swanage had anything catered to anyone under fucking 70. But I mean,
yeah, no, there's a bar/restaurant that turns into a nightclub at night. I've forgotten what it's called, but you Google Swanage nightclub. There's only one. Go on the Facebook and just
give them out
pre-COVID pictures. It's hysterical, but yeah. So go back and you look in the Dorset Echo archives on Tower Park nightclub from the late 90s. Some gold on there, man.
I am going to look up the nightclub now. A super club, they called it. The Venue, brilliant. Imagine that's what it was called. The Venue.
Yeah.
£3 million that cost to build.
when Tower Park was built, it was hailed as like, you know, it was going to be the place to be Yeah. Which is the place to be for, like, young adults and yo pros.
People still don't go now. There's nothing there. Restaurants and a cinema.
It's horrible. Man.
And a big Tesco. It's literally the reason people go there is for the big Tesco.
Yeah. The cinema is too big for the amount of people that go anyway. Like, it's gonna, that one, that cinema is going to close.
Actually, to be fair, I went to a place today. This first part. This is, mate, this is some great content we've been spitting here. It's just hilarious.
Yeah.
Do you not think? Niche, do you think this? Mate. It's not fucking niche. I mean, it's hilarious.
It's quite niche for the Dorset area, isn't it? Do you remember that nightclub?
Because we're talking about this, and people are now going to go and look at nightclubs in their area. Like, it's funny. I mean, it's like any. That would, if you could never talk about where you grew up and tell people how shit it was, then like most comedians would run out of material.
Yeah, that is true.
Some of John Cleese's best jokes are about growing up in Western Supermare. No joke. Watch him talk about it. It's hilarious. I mean,
there's literally nothing serious in Western Supermare, though. Have you been there?
Yeah, I have, unfortunately. I still smell it now, bro. Smells like
brilliant.
Fucking old donut dough and penny arcades.
Like 3-year-old chip butties. So that is.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not even, it shouldn't even be called Western Supermare. It should be called Birmingham on Sea. Like,
brilliant.
The amount
brilliant.
Of
brilliant.
Brummies that are there. Everywhere you go, you don't hear where. Yeah, it's not West. Yeah. It's not Western. It's not like Western accents, like Somerset accents you hear. It's Brummy. It's just Brummy, yeah. Or Scouse.
I know Brummies, and some of them are all right, but their voice is just droning. Isn't it? It's very slow, horrible, and boring, bro. And ooh,
horrible.
Don't you know? Fuck off.
Fucking canico. Mom? No,
that's definitely.
Give me some fucking pennies. No, that's not.
Sort of Scouse and Mank. It's weird, that.
Next. I'm just going to get a glass of water, hang on.
Fucking hell, what are you drinking out of the fucking sink?
Yeah, funnily enough, that is where most water comes from, mate, is out of a sink. It's a tap over a sink.
Where... Was that not a sink in your bedroom or something? That was very strange.
Yeah, it's an ensuite sink. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
It's a bathroom, bro. You ever heard of them?
Yeah. Yeah. Normally, I just like to shit in bags, mate. Fling it at fucking passers-by.
Anyway, I was going to say I went to a place today that was far worse than anywhere we grew up with. Anyway, anyone? It's called Keithley, and it's near about half an hour outside of Halifax.
Lovely.
And the shopping centre there. I mean, if poverty was a shopping centre,
surely that's.
Now, it's like the Dolphin, mate, it's worse than the Dolphin Centre. There was nothing in there, none of the shops being used, just some charity shops at Costa. Just dead, bro, like, it's a shame.
Where, what's it called, Keighley?
Yeah, Keighley, it's pronounced Keithley for some reason.
Of course it is, I mean, they can't even get their own fucking name right, that's how bad it is.
It's called the Airedale Shopping Centre.
Yeah, yeah, I've literally just gone past the Airedale Shopping. It's only because Halifax is the only thing. So funny enough, right, I typed in Keighley, Halifax, and it came up with Halifax is in the bank. So that's really confused me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, from the one picture they have on Google, it looks desperate.
It's rough.
I mean, actually, the one picture they've got is literally a white van in front of the Halifax building. Imagine that. They couldn't even take a picture of Halifax without a white van in front of it. Fucking hell.
It's not good, bro. Do not put Keithley on anyone's like bucket list.
Bruv, do you know what? I'm just zooming in on Google Maps, right? The only things that have come up in a shopping centre, Poundland, CEX, yep. Holland and Barrett. How desperate should I own a B&M? That's all right, then.
Wait, I've said it once and I'll say it again. This is the only part of the country I ever go to where I see people unironically using a gift card in Wilko.
Yeah, desperation. And do you know where they've got that from? They've stolen it off a fucking homeless out the front.
Oh, And more to the point, like literally yesterday I was in line, someone used a gift card at Wilko. I'm not joking, I've been to here three times. Every time in Wilko, I've been here to get something for my grandma. Someone's been using a gift card there, right? But this time, it had 76p left on it, and the woman behind the desk said, "Do you want to keep it?" And she said, "Yeah, no, go on."
She said, "Yes."
Yes! 76.
Yes, please.
She used, first of all, it was a 30 quid Wilko gift card. I'm like, who's buying 30 quid worth of fucking Wilko? How can you spend 30 quid in Wilko?
Well, they bought 30 chocolate bars. Fuck me.
Mate, it was all like shampoo and soap and that. It was like,
yeah, of course it was.
Fucking bathe yourself, lad.
76p left over, imagine that. When are you coming back to use that?
I don't know.
Imagine being there. Yeah. Imagine going Wilko's again and buying something. Going, fuck's sake! I had 76p on a gift card.
Shut up! Fucking hell, I've forgotten it now. It's the same people that have like a super drug loyalty card or something in their wallet.
Oh, like, yeah, you know about them with a mirror on it.
Yeah, that's it. My mum used to do this with her purse. Like she'd have, you know, 30 different loyalty cards for shops that she went in,
yeah,
you know, once every blue moon or something. It's like, mum, I eventually, you know, when I was a bit older, realised that this was stupid and told my mum, I said, mum, why don't you just have a place where they all are, and then when you actually go into the shop, although you buy most things online anyway, but like when you go into the shop, take it with you then. Don't always be carrying around.
And then you've lost points, haven't you?
Who's nipping in to Superdrug? Like, you go to Superdrug because you know you need something. You don't go for browse.
What if you're going around the shops and then you go, oh, I just need to get some cleanser, and then you've got to slip in and collect it?
Then,
or some fucking paracetamol or something. You're getting points off it, isn't it?
Yeah, but then do it, mate. It's not worth it.
Scrimping, Randy. I know that your family ain't about that scrimp life, but, you know, I mean,
that's
not all of us
life.
Are living in multi-million-pound fucking castles, mate. Let's be honest.
I live in a fairly modest cottage in Devon, but
I mean, a modest cottage is a ridiculous sentence.
All right,
a nine-bedroom cottage isn't modest.
It's not fucking nine-bedroom, Don. It's five bedrooms.
Wait, how many times a year do you get rethatched? At least twice, I bet.
It's not a thatch.
Is it not? Are you fucking pauper?
Yeah. You don't want to live in a thatched cottage anyway. It's cold.
A modest cottage is a ridiculous sentence. Like, it's actually annoyed me a little bit. A modest cottage.
Fair enough, mate.
Start talking to one of the Windsors. I live in a modest castle. It's not huge. We've only got the three maids. Oh, fuck off.
Mate, your financial concerns are your own fault.
Bruv, I'm a product of my own environment. I can't help
what
is it.
What does that mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean?
What do you mean you're a product of your environment? Did your mum used to lend money to gippos as well?
Oh, fuck me.
How is that possible? What do you fucking mean?
How fucking mental. Oh, that's good. That's the first time you've made me laugh. Well done.
Fuck you,
hell. Imagine that. And you've had to insult my mother for it. That's incredible. Wow. Oh, fucking hell. So, what I mean is, if you're not brought up with money, then you can't just make it up here, can you? Do you know what I mean?
I know, mate. It's also true
not rubbing shoulders with monies, do you know what I mean? Then I'm just in the same rat race as everyone else.
Yeah, but it was also true that if you grow up around money, you grow up around people who know how to keep money.
That's what I'm saying.
Very savvy. So financially savvy.
I'm not blaming my parents in any way, shape, or form, but it is. That's what I'm saying. Is if you grow up on a council estate, a lot of people just spend all their money on fags and booze. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is why they stay in the council estate.
Mm.
And I don't mean that offensively. It's like, that's just true.
No, it's exactly it. It's a poverty cycle, isn't it? That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, if you live for the moment and if you don't have a vision for what, you know, what you're working towards, then that sounds like I'm trying to sell some 5-week plan on how to get rich. I was like, you need a vision or something, but it's true. You need a 5-year plan or something. You need like something you're working towards, even if it's okay. By this year, I want to be this much more financially secure than I am now, and I'm going to do this, this, and this to do it.
But I think it's a difficulty for most people. I mean, talking from experience, I think it's difficult to not to have the plan, because, I mean, shit, I've had that plan since about the age of 14.
Yeah.
It's clearly not worked out for me. I think it's how to achieve the goals is what we're missing as a society. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? As people. It's all well and good saying, like, I need to save X amount a year, but either all the jobs that we can get don't pay that in the first place, and if they do, we're quite frivolous as a bunch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once you've got a bit of cash, it's sort of burning a hole in your pocket. You know what I mean, though?
No, I do, yeah. If you're not...
Everyone's your mate and they want to borrow money and all.
Yeah, that's something. I mean, This is my principle, is that I surround myself with people who I would lend money to, which is basically saying I would lend money to anyone.
So far away, then.
Yeah, pretty much, man. I would lend money to anyone who is a close friend, who's a friend of mine, because the only people I have as friends are people who I would trust to repay me. It's a funny one. This is the thing. I didn't grow up with a lot of money. I grew up very financially secure because of my uncle's money, which, you know, that he supported my education. He paid for me to do all of the things that I did, and he bought a large portion of my parents' house for them. He bought us a new car when I was 4. You know, like he bought us a lot of stuff.
You driving early, didn't they?
Yeah, bought me a car.
We can't afford a chauffeur. Get the boy on it.
You know, but just those kinds of things that he would do. So, but I grew up knowing that the money I was enjoying Yeah, it is. But I was like, I knew from a young age that it wasn't my dad's money. And my dad, it's, you know, there's extreme wealth and there's quite bad, like extreme poverty on both sides of my family. Like my grandpa, who was born in 1915, grew up in the slums of Birkenhead, like literally the slums.
Proper.
So, Birkenhead. You know, just, I don't know how to put it, but my mum was very financially savvy, much more so than my dad. And she was always like, but getting, but like, she never buys anything at full price. Always talking to me about taxes and things like that. So I just naturally rubbed off on me that I should take an interest in financial things. Like, they got me a savings account when I was 5 and put a bunch of money into it from like all my birthday money or something they'd put into that. And so that when I was 10, you know, I got a bank account with a debit card, and I know when I was 11 and stuff like that, they put my pocket money into it and they'd explain these things to me. So it's financial habits. It was, you know, and I had by the time I was 11, I already had like a few hundred quid in a bank account in my name that, you know, they wouldn't have stopped me if I had.
Happy with it.
Yeah, that's it. Like they wouldn't have technically, I know they wouldn't have stopped me from spending it how I wanted to, but because they had let me see it grow and get up to there. And also I had like an eldest brother who was spending, who would always spend all of his money. And then my other brother was very savvy with money. And I spent more time, put it this way, I spent more time around the brother up for me than I did my eldest brother. It rubbed off on me.
Yeah.
So.
Moving on.
That's a lovely shot of your gooch I'm getting, bro.
Thank you. Just for you. People pay good money for that normally. The free show.
Oh, they definitely don't.
No, not at all. I'm lucky if I make 10p a year.
You should get an OnlyFans, bro.
I actually think I should. Like, there's money in it.
is there?
I just don't know. You. Is that what you're on now? You just signing me up?
Yeah, sorry, no, I'm so bored of you, Don, really.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it normally takes hours, but, you know, we've had about fucking a year and a half of this. How much of that apple do you reckon's left? Because you've been sucking it for a little while now.
Not much, bro.
Fucking look at it. Look, just chewing it's a thing. Gun. There's nothing left.
Let me make this clear to people. You need to understand something. Apples are a shit fruit. They are. They are not good. I do not enjoy apples. I don't. They are so much like less enjoyable as an experience than bananas, oranges, mangoes, any berry, a pear. Apples. They're just boring.
I mean, I enjoy pears, but I do think they're like the flavorless apple. That's what they are.
But the texture, like a sweet pear, the texture is so much nicer and softer. Plums, apricots. Any of that shit, grapes, love it. But apples,
I
don't.
Apples these days, they're far too
bitter.
Wet is the problem, I guess.
Yeah, like it's full of water. It's like eating a cucumber, like a bitter cucumber. And I really like apple pie though. I'll put that out there. But apples are cheap, right? And they're good for you. As a fruit, they're cheap, good for you. Whatever, they've got good sources of different vitamins. So I eat them, but I can't sit down and eat like an entire apple. I have to eat it throughout the day because I just don't like the taste that much.
Nah,
so.
It goes brown, mate.
No, I don't care. No, mate, it just oxidizes. Yeah, it's literally. That's
good. It tastes even more bitter. It's like a banana. If you peel it and eat half of it and leave the other half, it either goes soft or bitter.
Yeah, but that doesn't really... Bananas don't really bother me when they do that, to be honest. So, okay... You're going to hate this. I actually eat the skin on kiwis.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. All right,
I was really ready to get fucking angry with you, but no, I do as well. I like it.
Yeah, mate. A lot of people know that. No, that's true, mate. Because a lot of people look at them and think that hairy, testicle-looking fruit probably needs to be peeled.
Not putting that pollock in my mouth.
Yeah.
Whereas me and you dive straight in.
Yeah. Well, it's because if you peel a kiwi... You just get your hands are just so like sticky afterwards. And like when you're out and about, and you take a kiwi. If you peel it, you got to put it in a pot. If you just put a kiwi in the box, you can just scran it. Fine. So like
most of the nutrients are actually in the skin as well.
Yeah, it's like potato.
So like you're technically peeling the healthy bit. Yeah, and just eating the sugary insides. I tell you something fucking weird though. I used to know a girl that would eat Starburst with the wrapper on.
Oh no!
Because
really?
She thought it was part of the flavor. Yeah, thick as shit, mate.
Or she thought it was a fucking Willy Wonka style Starburst.
Honest to God, yeah,
that's rough.
Like, it's just a bit of paper, isn't it? Just chew it through. It's not fucking normal.
Don't say that like it's a usual thing to do, you filth.
Yeah, you don't buy like a chocolate bar and just munch a wrapper through it, do you?
Yeah, you don't eat the can from Coke. Like, you don't sit there chewing the aluminium.
Finish a drink and just have a gnaw on it. What the fuck? Idiot.
I knew this one kid who, at school, sixth form, when we were in year 12, he would always shotgun cans of, like, 7-Up or like Coke or whatever.
Classic.
Just because he thought it looked cool. You know what I mean? Like biting into the bottom and like chugging it. Like
he always thought
it looked cool, and he would just like, he would eat his lunch and then he would shotgun a can of Coke or something.
And then
like,
he would literally
not...
eat his lunch.
But so I went, he did this repeatedly, and I didn't know, but I had a strong feeling that he was going to do it because he used to bite into it hard. I had a strong feeling one day he was going to slice up his gums doing it.
Yeah,
and he did.
His teeth are definitely going to come out.
Yeah, he sliced up his like upper jaw doing it, and he was like, "Mate, it was blood everywhere, like his mouth. It looked so painful." Never did it again.
I know that you went to a posh school, but if anyone did that around me, mate, they'd have got thumped anyway.
Mate, I didn't go. I went to fucking
like a dick.
Yeah,
in prep school,
I did the same. No, I went to the same kind of school you did, Donna, to a state co-educational state school.
No, you didn't.
I was homeschooled, and then I went. But no,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah.
I didn't go to a fucking academy like you. But
well, I didn't go to an academy, mate. Fucking hell, that's too posh.
I went to a state co-education of state school for sixth form. Well, I feel like we've discussed a lot of things. I was going to admit that I've had a week off. I really haven't read anything. I don't have anything to read to talk about.
I haven't finished a series. I mean, I've watched about 8 series of the thing. I still haven't finished it. So, no series this week, I'm afraid. Have you got an existential question? Because I know one was brewing last week, but didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, okay. Well, the question I was going to ask last week, we ran out of time. I'll ask it now. Was that if you think time is a real constant and like time actually passes, then you can locate things in a temporal time, on a continuum, present, past, present, future. It's a trinity of temporalities. So you can go one way or the other. And you can say these things. When you talk about space, the trinity there is length, width, and depth, length, breadth, and depth. Yeah. So talking about three dimensions that we can see and that kind of thing. And we can locate those. Or matter has a trinity of solid, gas, and liquid. And you can experience every matter in one of those forms. So it's a trinity of trinities. Space, time, matter. That is the principle of the first chapter of Genesis. Anyway, but time has past, present, future. Now, you can't locate those in the way that we can, and you can the other things. Because you can't experience all three at once, but you could experience water, ice, and condensation in the same moment if you're looking at them. By experiencing them, I mean like looking at them or tasting them or like touching them or something. Like you could experience all three. You can experience all the three dimensions at once. You do all the time. Like it would be impossible to not experience all three dimensions at once. That's part of the nature of it.
Yeah.
But for time, you can't experience any of them simultaneously because the past is always gone. The present is always the moment you're in. The future is always ahead of you. So you can't experience any of them at the same time, which it just strikes me as a different question. Let me rephrase that. It strikes me as a question worth asking whether or not past and future are real concepts to you, in not just now thinking about it, but like how you live your life. If the future is real to you, then how you act in the present changes. And the same thing is true of the past. If the past is real to you, then how you act in the present changes. So my thoughts on this were that you can map on a graph almost how much the past and the future are real to people by how they act in the present, or vice versa. How people act in the present will show you the inverse proportion of how real the past and the future are to that person. So the past to me is exceptionally real. Like it's vividly real because I have that kind of visual photographic memory. So everything I've seen, I remember. And obviously doing a classics degree, I'm always living in the past. Like the books I read are generally about the past or some imagined state of the past, like fantasies or something like that. I very rarely read science fiction or whatever, or I very rarely read modern fiction. It's all classic stuff. So their ways of thinking and how they viewed the world and like the architecture of the Romans or something like that is always present in my mind. But the future isn't very real to me because I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. I just... And I think you have to strike a balance. But it's just an interesting question because it tells you, first of all, a lot about how you are in the present, sure, but also about what you really think is real. Because you can think to yourself, oh, yeah, I know the future is happening. Like, I know about tomorrow or something. But unless you're living in such a way as that impacts your present, then the future isn't real, if that makes sense. Like, how you treat the future in the present will decide how real the future is to you.
That's fucking heavy, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's the question?
Well, the question is, do you think that the future is the future real to you? Do you think the future is real? Do you think the past is real? And do you live in such a way as, like, someone looking at your life could, with my mind, could say, oh yeah, the past and future are real to him?
I mean, I think the past is relevant as far as I can remember. But before that, I think... It's such a fucking complicated question. I think that time is real, if that's what you're trying to say, because it's forever marching forward. But the conceptualization of time is exactly that. It's, you know, relevant to the person. It's not, you know, like the fact that we can tell the time because we've got watches. I know your question is completely different to this, but bear with me. I'll get around to it. The idea that you can conceptualize time in minutes and hours is enough for me to not be happy with it. In the fact that you're then living your life in segments per day. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yeah.
Which then means that technically the future is forever going to affect the now because you're thinking about what the next couple of... You know, like, imagine like from 5 o'clock onwards is dinner, basically, and the evening.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So then in the morning you're thinking about dinner. Like, if you, you know, breaking it down to silly fucking terms like that. But it then works for a real life thing, you know, like if you've got a birthday coming up or something, it affects your ideas from now because you're thinking of the future, things like that. But in the large spectrum of things, I think, especially these days, the future is really quite relevant and it impacts us as people because we think a lot more about the future, you know, like even the future of the Earth and the greenhouse gases and everything like that. It really, I don't know, because it's been so hard hitting for the longevity of the last 10, 15 years, it really changes your outlook and your perception, I think, of what you're doing. Do you know what I mean? It affects everything that you think about, like even things like recycling. Yeah. Everything that you touch, you think, I can recycle that, or, you know.
Yeah. Or I can't.
Whereas the past, see, it's difficult because, I mean, I really like things like history and wars and things. Yeah. I'm interested in the what happened beforehand as the build up to it and things like that.
Yeah.
But equally, it's so irrelevant to our time now, really, that I don't think it necessarily does. There's certain bits of the past that affect us, but there's also parts of it that don't. And I mean. Even like the idea of where we came from as humans, where we were, you know, Darwin's evolution and things, it's completely relevant to us as people, but equally it's completely irrelevant because we're here. It doesn't matter how we got here.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know if that even answers your question, to be honest.
Well, they're not questions in a yes or no sense. They're just ruminations with a prompt to think more, because the thing with, I mean, how we dissect time is based on, it's arbitrary in a way, because yes, I mean, it's arbitrary to us now in a way that it wasn't before, because before our lives were ruled almost solely and dominantly by the natural light that we could use. So like dissecting time based on hours, seconds and minutes made sense because it gave us an idea of how much time we had to work outside and do things, etc. Although people couldn't really tell time in the same way because you didn't have wristwatches, you didn't have an ability to count seconds. Like the first mechanical clock was invented by an Englishman called Richard of Wallingford in the 13th century. And he got the idea from something he'd seen in Arabia, which wasn't the same thing as either. Anyway, but my point is, it's arbitrary to dissect time up into the way that we do, because it's a measure of counting something, but it's not counting like our lives in use in such a way as anything abstract. Like it's a very physical thing. Counting times in seconds, because you're counting the cycle of the sun, basically. And you're doing that because that's how it affects everyone. Like, everyone is affected by the sun. The sun is unaffected by us. So we map it onto that because it's the same for everyone then, even though some people have more daylight or whatever. Yeah. But if you think about it on a deeper level, that is not how we really think about time. You don't think about your past in hours, really, other than to say to someone, oh, yeah, I did it. Like, you say to someone, oh, today I did this. You don't say, well, at this time I did this, this time I did this. But you think about the future in terms of hours on the day, because you'll think, well, in 4 hours I need to be here, in 4 hours I'm doing this, 3 hours I'm doing that. So it's much more rigidly set up, even though those times don't exist in any other form except in your imagination. Mm-hmm. They exist because you imagine, you know that they will come. But what happens if there's there's suddenly the sun dies? I mean, obviously we all die, but the sun goes out, there's no light. Those hours cease to be things, but we would still talk about it in hours. And this is the thing, even if the sun died, and I know we would die with it, I mean, that would be impossible, but even if the sun wasn't a thing, like we went underground, we never saw the sun again, we would still dissect time up into hours because it's such a useful way of talking about the future.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's really all I had to say on that, but it was just, it's worth thinking about because if you don't understand how you think about how you imagine time passing in the future and how you imagine time before in the past, then you will never understand how you can make the best use of the time, quote unquote, you have in the present.
Yeah. I mean, I've never really thought about it. It's quite interesting to think how the future and the past affect people differently. Do you know what I mean? I've always, it's just one of them things you never really think about it. It's an odd, an odd conception that you could, like you said, hours and minutes, everyone lives by it sort of thing, but everything else affects people differently.
Yeah. It's the only universal metric of time because it's the only one, because the sun is the only thing that everyone experiences.
It's a constant, Well, not constant, but
because it's not in this planet. So you can say that people experience the moon and the stars, sure, but you don't really rule your life by the cycle of the moon unless you're a freak.
Or the sea.
Yeah. But the sea depends on the moon as much as the sun. It's just that we talk about it, the moon, more.
Yeah.
Anyway, mate, that's all I have.
All right, then.
That was good, bro. Well, actually, that was good.
It was actually quite nice.
No, that was good, mate. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you.
Speak to you soon, bro. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a nice. Bye.